Today I want to take a look at the reading from the book of Acts. Acts being actually a companion book to the Gospel of Luke. The same writer goes up through the Gospel of Luke, and then Acts picks up of the amazing things that happened once Jesus ascended. Today's readings are really just prior to today's readings. We hear that Paul had been doing his thing, and really he gets ushered out of a city. They didn't like what he had to say, but Timothy and Silas had stayed behind, and so Paul is sent to Athens to wait for them. They needed to catch up. And so he's there, and he's really, his intent wasn't to be there to preach to them. He was to wait for Timothy and Silas and, you know, recoup a little bit, I think. But while there, he looks around, and he becomes deeply distressed by all the idols that he sees and all the altars that he sees. They're everywhere, all over Athens. Actually, the most idols and altars of any place, they're there. And so, becoming distressed, he can't just, you know, keep his mouth closed. And so, just go and wait, Paul, we'll be there. No. So, he spent several days pretty juiced up and arguing in the synagogue and arguing out in the marketplace. Well, he attends to attract attention. And so Paul is brought to the Areopagus, which is the center court of the city government. He's now speaking to the city government. Well, you know, he learned a little bit from the arguing, the days out in the marketplace doing his thing. And he shifts gears. And this is, I think, very important for us in our lives and our relationships with others. Paul shifts gears. He stopped arguing. He doesn't judge them for their altars and their idols. He did just the opposite. He actually praised them. He lifted them up, acknowledging how religious they were. And it wasn't sarcasm. That word can actually be a positive or negative, but the way it's used in this story is actually a positive. He's acknowledging that the people in Athens actually have a desire, strong desire, to be in relationship with God. That's what he sees. The idols, the altars, instead of saying, bad, he says, look, you are reaching, you are seeking. And so he lifts them up. A different change in relationship than arguing with them. But while out there, he notices an altar that was different than the others. All these altars to all these different gods, they're all labeled. And so anybody can go and pray to the God that they want to. But there's one that is labeled to the unknown God. They're not sure why it was there. If it was in response to something that they happened and that happened and they didn't have a God to attribute it to. The other thought is maybe something really bad happened and they didn't have a God to blame it on. And I mean, because that's the way it worked. And so they created this unknown God altar and thinking, well, they forgot to name a God and this God's mad, and so we don't know the name of the God, so we're actually going to build an altar for that God. And it's just the unknown God. Well, what Paul does when he's there, building that relationship with them, is he connects their desire and what he sees them being in relationship to God, to that altar, to the unknown God. And in doing that, he also connects them to their thoughts of the day, and he quotes their own poetry to them, really to tie together his thoughts of how his God, the God, the one true God, was being honored through that unknown altar. He said, "In him we live and move and have our being." Those were poetic words from someone. There are debates on who said it, but it was truly something from their time, as well as, "For we too are his offspring." I think those words are important because it ties into the theology that we get from the writer of Luke. That theology is actually unique because Luke's theology is not tied to God is found in the temple. It's not tied really to God is found in one religion. It is tied to there is one true God. God is everywhere. It's one of those theologies that really ties into a newer way of evangelism, not like brand new because they've been doing it a long time, but they learned from the old way of going into and to try to bring people into a relationship with Jesus. They used to just go in and say, "You must do this, 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 or all this is going to happen to you." Instead, those evangelists learned, as they did with what Paul did, they went into the culture and they saw where God already was. Their understanding. And they tied things to it. Things that they were already using in their religious life, they would tie that and say, "Oh, we call that this." Actually, not a defensive thing and a judgment thing. It was a, "Look, one true God." Now, Paul, using these words of tying together of this one creator, and that God is not found in items, but that God is found in God's offspring. And who is God's offspring? One true God. He said, "We all came from one ancestor." And his words unite people instead of break people up. It's important for us to remember that even Paul, that earliest of apostle that we have any information from, believing that, saying that through the words of Luke. But he doesn't stop there. It's not simply a free-for-all. Paul brings in at the end something that they would have found very offensive, that Jesus was resurrected in the body. Very challenging for them, because for that culture, the body was bad. It wasn't good. There wasn't the God to be resurrected bodily. Now, it wasn't exactly the same kind of body, but it was different, but it was still bodily. And that challenged them. We all need a little challenge in our faith. It can't just be, "Hey, all's good, God loves you." All is good and God loves you. I don't want to say that. But we need challenged. And Paul was challenging them because he needed to bring them, tie them together to this all creation as a whole from one common ancestor to us being a part of God because we are God's offspring. And now, here's Jesus, the ultimate in God and in human form, that we know to be lifted up as we see through the resurrection. Here it is. And it challenged them to look beyond simply an altar for every God. How do we share the resurrected Jesus? Do we argue? And it doesn't even have to be arguing about Jesus, because our faith is lived out in how we live our lives. That's the expression of Christ being in us, how we live our lives in the world. Sometimes we talk about Jesus. Sometimes we point out when we see Jesus to other people of what's going on in that ever presence, just like Paul did. But judgment and arguing doesn't work. It's a great example that Paul gives us. It makes me wonder if Paul walked into here today, other than probably being really stunned that his name's outside really big on the wall. That would probably put him off a little bit. But Jesus didn't want to start a new religion either. So a lot of what we do would probably put Jesus off too. But what would Paul think? Just like he walked into Athens, if he walked into our culture, walked into our church, what would he have to say for us? Well, I think that whatever he would say to us, I think that he would key off his lesson that he learned in Athens that day. That he wouldn't come in and say, why are you doing that? What are you doing that? Why are you doing that? He would lift up what we are doing and celebrate that to allow that to grow, which builds relationships and builds the body of Christ. We do things from this place that we do corporately that have St. Paul's stamp on it. St. Paul's ministry out here. St. Paul's is doing this. I'm really curious. I was in a discussion the other day at the priest conference about being able to identify in our congregations where we are being the body of Christ in the world, not as something that is grouped at the church with a stamp on it. Which is good, we need to do that, because it promotes the faith and it promotes people being able to come together in community and grow, because we need community to do that. But it's those examples of what happens when we grow in community to be able to go out and do what we're called to do. We don't talk about those things a lot. Sometimes we see them, and only you know what it is that you're doing out in the world that is a reflection of the Christ within you. That being created by God and responding to God's grace. So, I don't know how to get those things from you. Everybody's going to take a survey. Pull out your thing. No, I'm not going to do that to you, at least not yet. But, but I really do want to know, because that's the ultimate goal, for us to live Christ in the world. And maybe it's an email that I send out, and if you get our email, think about those things that you're actually doing that's a reflection of your relationship with Christ in the world. And then just shoot it back to me. Little things. They're all important and they all add up. Amen.